To worship, and it comes to us from the book of Psalms, chapter 121, verse 1, and it says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. So let's stand this morning and rejoice.
When people start pointing at you, I worry. Yeah. My son showed up finally, and we had his Christmas this week. We don't have Christmas. We have a journey. And so he showed up. He brought with him his cat. I love animals. Don't like cats. And cats know I don't like cats. So where did the cat show up all weekend? I would get up and get on my shoulder. I would go to bed and it would wake me up at night staring at me. It loved to play with my shoestrings. So me and this cat had an agreement, and it didn't bother me, but I couldn't find the cat. This morning I got up and went to my closet and I thought, well, it's kind of cool out. I'll get a pair of black pants out. And that's easy because all my pants are black because I'm colorblind, so I just only get black. And I found out where the cat had been all weekend. Sleeping in my black pants. They're all covered with hair, so you don't look at my pants and I won't look at your pants. How's that? But anyway, the cat is a new buddy, and the only fear I have, he's leaving today, he may leave the cat. I'm kind of fearful. But I'm not allergic to him. See, there you go. Be thankful. You know, there are things that follow you around, like cats, and sometimes, the scriptures tell us the sin that so easily besets us. And I think sometimes we forget how easily sin besets us. And I got up this morning in a grumbly mood, not because of the cat, because I said, no one remembers the good things of the church anymore. And today we're going to be talking about Epiphany. And I thought to myself, no one even understands what that word means. No one in the evangelical community remembers it. No one celebrates it. And then when I got up and turned on the, I don't read the newspaper, I read my iPhone, and the Parkersburg News and Sentinel, the headline was very interesting. Above the banner, in great big letters, It says, First Lutheran Church celebrates Epiphany, and they were burning their greens, which is another tradition. And it was a whole half a page about celebrating Epiphany in Parkersburg. And that gave me, I felt good about that. That maybe people are getting back to the things we did in the first and second century of Christianity and looking at some values that we have lost. I hope we don't lose a lot of values, and I hope we concentrate ourselves on those good things that we can hold on to, like Epiphany, like the celebration of Advent and Lent, and really remember all the good things of the Christian year. Pray with me, please. Father God, as we start a new year today, we just ask that you'll send a blessing on us and through us, that indeed this time together may be profitable, may be celebrative, may remind us how good you are. The manifestation of Christ was not just one time, but it's every time that someone gives their heart to you. Thank you for this holiday season, those that work so hard here at Highland Baptist to make sure it was enjoyable. Thank you for those that had safe travel and those that were able to be with family and friends. And now prepare us for a new year to do new things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. May we use it wisely, and may we use it completely. In Christ's name, amen.
And our sermon scripture today is Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, and it says, After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. So let's stand and sing in our hymns this morning, page 166, verses 1, 2, and 5, We Three Kings.
When we think of the visit of the wise men, the Magi, We think of things like, we know they brought gold and Frankenstein and myrrh. They must have been mad they were murmuring about something. Why were there only three of them? Well, we don't know how many there were. There were three gifts, but there could have been more than three wise men. But that's not the point of the scripture today. And I think our musical folks have done a wonderful idea drawing that point out and reminding us that this is a very important time. It's a time that historically in the church, next to Easter, Epiphany is the oldest season in the Christian calendar. It's celebrated in Asia Minor and in Egypt. It's being celebrated always on this weekend. And it's kind of an interesting thing to be a part of that because we can go back and find evidence of the celebration of Epiphany in the first and second century. And somehow it got lost when it came to our culture. I think it was overwhelmed by the celebrations that the Lutherans and the Germans and all them brought to us from Europe in Christmas. Christmas is relatively, in the Christian history, a newer celebration. But Epiphany is a very old one, and I think we need to rediscover what it really means and understand how we can apply it right now to our church, to our church life. It's a festival, and it always falls on the weekend of January 6th. Now, I don't think you can go to Hallmark and find Epiphany cards, although you might, and they have a little bit of everything else. But it's kind of a combined festival that celebrated the birth and the baptism of Jesus, which are very important in the Eastern Church, but somehow we've lost it. The churches that follow the lectionary, they make a big deal about Epiphany, and I think it's important to us to understand that it is still a major festival that we need to look at and observe next to Easter and Pentecost. And it's important we understand that, because if we ignore it, we're missing something very important. Epiphany means manifestation. And so if we don't celebrate it, we're missing the whole idea of Christ becoming like us. We're missing the whole idea of the darkness of the world being dispelled by the light of Christ and the revelation of His Son and the bright glory of God that He brings forth in Jesus. The season of Epiphany, I think, says three very important things to us. First of all, it's a time to worship. You know, we don't need an excuse to worship, but this is a special emphasis for worship. The season is special to us because it deals with the glory of God. It's a season where wise men came seeking a newborn king, and it ends in the experience of transfiguration as Jesus goes back into heaven, and there He's reclaimed the sonship He had with God. It's important to understand that it's a time to be thankful and to bring glory to God. I remember years ago going to a church, and there was two sweet little old ladies. One of them had to be my grandmother. And every time something would happen, she'd say, "Well, glory." You know, something would happen to glory. "Well, you know, the lone policeman in Grafton got hit by a car. Glory." "You know, my dog died. Well, glory." "My husband got laid off from the coal mine. Well, glory." You know, everything was glory. And finally, being kind of a stubborn little guy, I went to her and I said, "Why is it when anything happens, you say glory?" She said, "Because it is. God will manifest Himself," and she used that word directly, "in that experience. That's glory." And many times I think in the church, we start feeling sorry for ourselves, and we forget that God will take whatever's going on and will find glory in it. And that's so very important. Now, I realize today is one of those cold days that you'd rather stay in the house and drink your cocoa and listen to a real good preacher on the radio or television, but you're stuck with me and we're out of cocoa. So, we'll do what we're going to do. But the important thing is we've come to worship, and every time you worship, you should find out something new about Jesus, new about God, new about the power of the Holy Spirit, but also new about your own life. That is so very important. Epiphany is a time to worship. But also, Epiphany is a time to witness. There's no better time than to have the Lord's Supper than on this day, because it's a witness. It's a witness to what God has done and what He's continued to do among people. One of the new traditions that they're launching at First Baptist Parkersburg that I'll miss has to do with food. And what they do, and especially during the winter time when it's kind of cold and the furnace half works at church, they still have worship, but then they go to someone's house and spend the afternoon with soup and just sit and talk and witness. I told them I'd be a little late, but save me a bowl of chili, and they will. But the interesting thing is that it's not about the food, is it? It's about the manifestation of Christ among yourself. You have an annual meeting coming up. That should be an annual celebration. You should get together and not talk about the things you've lost or the people that have moved on. You should talk about what you've gained. And the fact that you've had another year to serve the Lord and you're getting a new roof. I mean, what else could you need? Well, maybe a new floor, but that's a sudden point. You know, you have to remember there's good things. And sometimes we forget that. It is a time to worship. It is a time to witness, to tell people what the good things that God's doing and how He's spreading His love. And I want to tell you, we live in a dark world. One of the things that I've done these last few years has been really involved in worldwide religion and see what's going on around the world and the persecution that goes on among Christians, the martyrism that's going on among Christians. And we, because we feel safe, we don't think about that, but it's going on. And we need to rejoice in the fact there are still people that understand this whole manifestation thing, this whole epiphany movement that want to manifest Christ. One of the things that you've invited to do, and it was mentioned at our leadership training, and it is for leaders, but anybody can go to that. The only thing you have to have is $15, and that's for your materials and your lunch, cheap lunch. But, the point is, one of the new things that we're doing is faith in the workplace. Lisa Simmons is going to be doing that. And it's a real involved thing. It's got workbooks and it's got CDs and it's got commercials. It's got all kinds of stuff. And she's going to be teaching it. And the convention bought everything we need to do that for the next year. And I hope someone from here goes. I intend to go because as I'm starting to do some consulting right now, that's one of the things I take to the churches. Here's a focus, I don't want to call it a program, here's a focus that you can do in your community, where you're at, to make a difference in your life and the lives of those you work with. That's manifestation. That's epiphany. And that's a concrete way of doing exactly what the Scripture is calling us here to do and to be, to be light bearers, to reveal to the world in a dark place the love of Jesus. But there's a third thing, too, and that is not only to worship, it's not only to witness, it's also a time to win. I don't know about you, I love to win. It's always been part of my DNA to win. And the Epiphany event portrays Christ as a universal Savior. And sometimes we forget about that. He's there for everybody. He doesn't try to exclude anybody. He welcomes people in. And it's interesting, as we read through the Scripture, it said, you know, where is He? The King of the Jews. Now, we know that probably by this time when the Magi were seeking Him, He was about 2 years old because He was a child, and that word is very specific to children. Australians call them walkabout babies. I think that's a great term. So we know that He was about 2 years old. There was a house, and there wasn't a manger. So we know that He was moving along in age, and we knew the Magi had come to see Him, and they came for what reason? To bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and Pampers? No. He came to worship Him as a newborn king. That's the winning of this whole thing. How do we worship Him as a newborn king? How do we win the world? How do we win Gentiles? How do we win unchurched people and bring them under the love and the banner of Jesus? That's what we need to be considering. And that's what we need to be doing. We have a marvelous opportunity in West Virginia. I know we lost population again this last year, but that's okay. There's still people left that don't know Christ. And we need to knock on doors and bring them to know Him. And you can't force them, but you can love them. You can't just pull them into a church with a logging chain. You have to love them into a situation where they know Christ. That's important. That's great. Wonderful thing happened this morning. Excuse me. Before I left, my middle son, who lives in Beckley, he's kind of he works on farms and does different things. And right now, his employment has ended. But he said, as soon as it's warmed up, they'll call him back. So that may be this week as well. But I was getting ready to leave, and I said, well, I'll see you when I get back from St. Albans. He said, yeah, I'll probably see you then. I'm going to church. Matthew is not a church person. As a matter of fact, he has a black T-shirt that says, this is my church shirt. He's just that kind of person. He's a great musician, writes music, plays bass, almost has a degree from Berklee School of Music in Boston. But he just likes being out of doors. But this morning, he got up and went to church with his mama. It took years. That's the last thing he's done like that in the last 5 years. He said he wanted to do that as a gift to us because we've always been good to him. And he just is coming to realize the world is a bad place, but the good thing is your family loving you into Christ. So I challenge you. There's a Matthew in your life somewhere. May not be a child. Maybe a friend, maybe a relative, it may be a spouse. I don't know who it is, but there's a Matthew, and you need to reach out to them. Remember, this is a time of worship. It's a time of witnessing, but also it's a time of winning. And losing my voice. The other thing is, please remember to pray every day for your search committee. I know I've said that to you. I'm saying it to all of you. The only way this thing's going to work is through prayer. And I know it's going to work, but you got to pray about it. And we pray on a regular basis before the worship service, but we're just not praying for you. We're praying with you. Please remember, the manifestation, the epiphany of Christ, is when we all work together to make a difference for this community of faith in this time and with the people of this community. Pray with me, please. Father God, I thank you for this day. And I ask now, as we prepare ourselves to enter into the time of communion, we'll be reminded of the manifestation of Christ in our life. Yes, it's important that we understand that, because he may manifest himself in our worship, in our witness, and in our winning. Now come and walk among us as we take this time to remember how good you are and that you died on a cross that we might live forever. Bless us that we might leave this place in a few moments and be a blessing to others. This we pray in the great and gracious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May we leave this place rejoicing and serving the Lord. We are blessed. Now let us go and be a blessing. Amen. Amen.